Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
All right. You won't guilt trip me.
Continue. Let's see how I do this.
Oh, right there. That's a beautiful button you got over there. Did great. But yeah, I mean, it's wonderful here in Tampa Bay. I mean, we all know, like, how excruciatingly painful it was in 2008 when the Rays didn't win, or the years where the Lightning were struggling. In the first years of the Lightning, you know, there's stories about how there was money mismanagement. We were afraid we were going to lose the team in the very early days of it. And I think there's even rumors of the Yakuza crime family owning, like, a portion of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Of the Lightning?
Yeah. It's on the internet a little bit. It's like rumors.
Well, they figured that Phil Rizzuto, because his name ends in a vowel,
and
he brought in his buddies from his neighborhood.
Oh man, but it's great. You know, it's great.
I never heard that.
You never heard of that before. No. Give it a little look online. It's pretty interesting. I don't know how, you know, accurate it all is, but there's like rumors and talk about how, you know, the Lightning went through bankruptcy and kind of all that kind of stuff in the very early days of the team, but. You know, it's great. You know, we won the Stanley Cup in 2004, and now we're, you know, we won it the past 2 years, and why not make it three, you know?
Good afternoon. Welcome to hour number two. If you're listening on the Tan Talk Radio Network, we just came back, and our affiliates, and you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, home of our 19th hole studios. We're on the tee. You can catch that from 11-12 every Saturday here on the Tan Talk family of stations. And then today, as I said, we are up in my office, perched above Ferg's at 410 is the Yankees and the Rays. It's going to be, you know, there was a book called The Bronx Zoo, and we're going to have the author of that, Peter Gollenbach, on at the bottom of the hour. Well, the Bronx Zoo is infiltrating the Tropicana Field today, and unfortunately, you'll see more Yankee fans, just as you will as if the Rangers happen to beat the Carolina Hurricanes. You'll see a lot of Ranger nuts over there, unfortunately, in Amalie, and it's just the reality of being a melting pot. You're from Michigan, you're a Floridian, I'm from Iowa. All these people assembling here, and now I sound like a smug Floridian, these damn Northerners. 4 months strong, at least it's almost 7 years, pal. So anyway,
yeah, I've had to deal with them my whole life, driving slow in the left-hand lane.
7 years, you were 16.
Those are those retirees, man. I got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. you're injecting the vibrancy that is the Edge in downtown St. Pete now, your generation, and I'm thankful that you arrived, young man. So let's talk a little more. You guys talk for a second while I get our next guest, and that is going to be Randy Grimes. Hey, I know one thing I was going to say to you. From a baseball perspective, your analysis, before we throw him on, of where we're at right now, the Rays.
The Rays.
100 wins?
All right. So I don't know if we'll make it to 100 wins this season. I mean, I'd love to. Of course, I'm a little biased. Love the Rays. I want to see them hit 100 wins. But as we saw the past few games against the Yankees, where a team that relies so much on preventing runs, they need to focus more on the defensive ability of our players and less on the analytics when it comes to the past few games.
I thought that since they pulled Snell out.
Mm-hmm.
But just my opinion.
Believe me, I know. The analytics, they're great and they'll get us far, but there's a point where you have to have, you know, the baseball feel. You have to understand the you know, what's going on in the game. You
gut
have to
feel.
Get all that. Yeah, it's a gut, and the gut has disappeared. And we saw it with Taylor Walls, who struggled a little bit at shortstop, and Harold Ramirez, who's over there at first instead of G-Man Choi, and they moved the infield around just because of the analytics of the game. And you saw it doesn't work. We lost the past few games.
Yeah, I'm not an analytics fan, and this guy is old school as well, and I'm fortunate to have him in our circle here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. He's been down 3, 4, maybe 5 times. Randy Grimes, he's a worldwide traveler, and how you been, my man?
I'm great, man. What are we talking, old school, huh?
Well, we're talking old school in baseball, you know, going with the gut feel versus analytics. I've got two young wizards in front of me, Ben Botham and the big old Oscar Garner III, you'll meet these young guys. It's going to be the passing of the torch eventually, and these are two young, bright young men that the old man's going to step away someday and hand over the. They'll have to pry the freaking mic out of my hands, but I'll hand it over to them.
Baseball's like everything else. We overthink it.
In today's world, yes.
Right.
So
we analyze it too much instead of just enjoying what it is.
On a personal note, of course, welcome back to the red, white, and blue, the U.S. of A. I thought maybe for a while we were going to lose you and your lovely wife, Lydia, to Rwanda, where your son's at. And
oh, my gosh, I can't say enough about that country, man. They talk about respect for their country.
Gorgeous. Well,
they closed the town down a couple of days a week to go out and sweep the streets. Like the people that live there, they sweep the streets and they take care of the estuaries and all that. It's come a long way since, of course, the terrible genocide that was only 30 years ago. You know, it's still pretty fresh on everybody's mind, but it's something nobody talks about, and they've moved on. And man, you wouldn't think you're in Central Africa.
You know, when I saw your pictures, I was just overwhelmed because in the back of my mind, and many Americans, the only thing that we really know about Rwanda is Hotel, you know, Rwanda, that, you know, horrific
right.
story, seriously.
Right,
and,
right.
And you're showing me you guys were in paradise.
Oh, man, it's awesome over there. And like I said, just great respect for that country those people have. Well, there's a lot we could learn from them, that's for sure.
All right, and I know you loved seeing your son and all the positive things he's doing over there.
He's doing some great stuff.
Well, he's got a great father and mother to give him the ideal of doing great things in the community. And I'm looking at just showed this to the fellas your book Off Center, and since you brought it out, I think it was February 8th, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Super Bowl.
I thought so. I forgot what a celebrity you were on Radio Row. Randy Grimes on Radio Row.
Hey, if I don't market myself, who will, right?
Well, like you and I shared, you know, we post a lot on Facebook, and what'd you say? Poor man's marketing?
That's right. Poor man's marketing.
Well, for anyone that hasn't heard Randy on my Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, he played for the Baylor Bears, a very successful career. 10 years. 10 years with the Tampa Bay Bucks under center. That's a storied career in itself, 10 years.
Well, five head coaches, six different position coaches, 10 different quarterbacks, and three different general managers. So that wasn't a real stable environment that decade.
That's only the 10 quarterbacks that you recall. There's got to have been more sets of hands on your rump than that during that tenure.
Hey, a hand is a hand, you know?
So, give me an update. Where the book tour is taking you, where your speaking engagements are taking you this summer, the events you've got going on, then we'll talk a little football.
Yeah, we've got a lot coming up in June. Off Center's doing really good. You can find it at offcenterthebook.com or just go to Amazon, Randy Grimes, the book, or Off Center the book. And find it, but it's doing really good. People are loving it. The reviews have been great. I've got June is going to be a very busy month. We're all over not only the state of Florida, but all over Texas and once in Utah. So we got a busy June coming up, and the work I do at White Sands Treatment Centers with pro athletes in recovery that's going well. That's booming, and you know, That work never ends. You know, there's always somebody to reach, somebody struggling with substance abuse or mental health issues. You know, I love the fact that that's God's way of keeping me connected to the game that I love so much, and that's professional football. And you know, with Major League Baseball being involved in the NBA and NHL, and like I said before, pretty much every sport that you can think of that has an organization that supports their former players, those are the guys that I work with. And, you know, I love working with former athletes. I know what they go through when they don't have that uniform to put on anymore or that playbook to look at. And, you know, it's not just about chronic pain, but it's about transitional trauma, you know, and same with veterans or anybody else that their identity is wrapped up in their uniform.
And on this Memorial Day, a shout out to, as I have several times during the start of this broadcast at 11, Memorial Day for our lost ones, the people that contributed, that are still contributing to America and the freedoms that we enjoy. And I'm certain as a Texan from Tyler, Texas, it hit home for you hard the other day on the unbelievable tragedy. I'm sure you and Lydia were impacted considerably.
Oh my gosh, I had a deer lease down there in Uvalde for about 15 years, so I'm very familiar with that community and the people that live there. I mean, it is just a cow town, you know. It's a farming community filled with great people, and yeah, that breaks my heart. I've got a great friend who was an all-pro with the Raiders named Van McElroy, who lives down there. Went to Baylor with him and had a great career in the NFL. And you know, that's the kind of town that's the kind of people that town's made up of. And yeah, it's heartbreaking.
And I didn't realize Matthew McConaughey, his childhood.
I didn't either.
Yeah, his childhood was spent there. Because we know what
I saw that. That's crazy.
Now he was a Texas Longhorn, wasn't he? So you Baylor,
he was.
Bears didn't care for him.
Yeah, he wasn't good enough to be one of us good Baptist boys.
Hey, let's talk a little football. What do they call these now? UTAs.
OTAs.
Did you guys? He didn't have any option back in the day, and your contracts were chump change compared to these boys.
You kidding, man? If they told us to be out there for anything, you better be there. You know, it wasn't optional. And you know, we called them mini camps back then, and you know, you could have about as many mini camps as they cared to pay for. You know. And yeah, it's a lot different now. And we were in helmets, but it was live practice.
Well, hell, during the season, you guys had live practice back then.
Oh, every day we beat the hell out of each other all week long, and just hopefully there was enough left in the tank on Sunday to play. But you know, there was that Junction Boy mentality. You know, that Bear Bryant, if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play hard mentality. It always blew my mind because that's where the majority of guys' injuries came from, were practice. And it was just so stupid, that mentality back then, you know.
Well, and you were there 83-92, so you had Ray Perkins, and he's the one that brought that Alabama mentality of knocking the hell out of each other all week long, so you'd be toughened up. That's just about as ignorant as you can examine anything that took place in the archives of college and professional football.
Well, and you can't just blame it on Perkins. Yeah, he brought that three-a-day mentality down here. Where
you guys had three-a-days? NFL guys had three-a-days?
We had three-a-days at the University of Tampa for training camp. Absolutely. I never could. Our clothes didn't even have time to dry out.
Damn.
In between practices. But, you know, it started with John McKay. I mean, that mentality, that was that old USC mentality. And it was Lehman Bennett. He brought it down from Atlanta. I mean, Perkins just made it worse by doing it three times a day. And, you know, it didn't stop. It probably led up a little bit by last year with Sam Weinch. You know, he was a little bit more of a pros coach. But
He's the guy that told you he didn't need you anymore?
Yeah, he was the one that fired me, damn it.
And one of your favorites in life, right, as you look back?
Yeah, right.
You know, you brought up those names, John McKay and
Lehman Bennett.
Lehman Bennett and of course, Paul Bryant. But the unfortunate thing, they all had success. So everybody thought that was a recipe for success.
Yeah, but, you know, they coached out of fear. You know, you're going to lose your job, or they were going to murder you if you didn't play well, you know?
Well, today's
or like the Junction Boys, if you quit, you had to walk all the way back from West Texas to College Station. So, I mean, there's some incentive there.
Yeah, a lot of incentive. I know it's not football season, but, you know, the moves are moves that they didn't make. This Tampa Bay Bucs and the draft they have, they look more fortified now. Than they were, And with TB's announcement, I think that made a lot of the veterans rethink retirement, made them rethink whether they wanted to exercise their free agent options. And I think of some very solid moves. And the more I'm down here, and as a Packer fan, I am so impressed by that front office and ownership of the Bucks. And can you imagine if they would have had them during your era?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, these guys are doing everything possible to do a repeat, you know. And it looks like the stars are lining up, you know. They've got the roster together. They're not that one player away. I mean, we were always 45 players away when I played. But now, you know.
Don't throw yourself in there. 44, brother. Hey, you're the one that withstood 10 quarterbacks and 5 offensive coordinators. So definitely 44, man.
But it looks like the stars are lining up for them to do another run. And, you know, as long as everybody stays healthy and get a couple of nice breaks along the way, which is what it takes. And, you know, I don't see why they won't be back in that same playoff position at the end of the season. You know, everybody's waiting on Gronk to see what he's going to do. And it's nice to know that they have cap space available for him. But I think they've shored up pretty much every position, and we're ready to go. They had a great draft. They really, really did a great job in the draft. Again.
All the pieces they needed and that people didn't see. And when they traded away their first round draft pick, people that aren't in the know just about died, you know. There was a big gasp in the Tampa Bay area. And I thought, you know, if they only had an idea of, you know, the examination and preparation and the attention to detail that goes into these front offices making draft choices, because it's a they're buying million-dollar pieces of corporations, actually.
That's a huge investment. That's right. It's a huge investment. And only thing that I worry about is the backup quarterback role. You know, I always worry about that when you got TB back there. You know, anything could happen at any time, and you got to be ready back there. And I'm sure they have something. They probably know a lot more than we do, obviously.
Well, they think Trask is going to be the kid. We'll see.
Well, and I do too. But is he ready now? I mean, we might need him in the middle of September. Is he ready?
Yeah, that's true. You're only an injury away. You know that in the NFL. And right. Hey, before I let you go, Pro Box. I know I'm not going to break down boxing with you, but you're a big supporter of it over in Plant City, and I was blessed, thanks to you, to get over to a superb card. It's professional boxing at world-class professional boxing, believe it or not, folks, in Plant City. Talk a little bit about that. I reached out to Gary yesterday, actually, Jonas. Good. And told him, you know, give me an update, what's going on. So if you talk to him, tell him I want to get him back on the air, because I know they've had another two cards since the time I was there. And
They had a huge fight. Yeah, they had a huge fight on the 20th, and I think they had a fighter from China, and as a result of that, he live streamed that fight to 1.5 billion with a B Chinese people. So, I mean, it was a huge coming out party for Pro Box TV, Pro Box Promotions, and it's just getting better every month as we have a new fight out there. You know, there's been about 7 or 8 different bouts. The cards are unbelievably talented, and
from all over the world.
You wouldn't believe that this is going on out in Plant City.
No.
And you wouldn't believe the Vegas-style venue that's been set up out there for this.
I walked in there all suited up, you know, and I thought, what the hell did Randy get me into here, man? And that's right when Roy Jones Jr. and those Bentleys showed up.
Antonio Tarver,
and I told you those stories already. Roy Jones Jr. I had met Tarver at some boxing event years ago, and Roy Jones Jr. So for a slight second, my ego thought he remembered me. Well, how the hell would you remember me? He obviously thought I was somebody else. But those guys are doing, you know, the ringside analysis. And they do it for every one of the events that Gary's got him on. He's got him on the payroll, and that is very cool. And as you said, I was astonished at the level of boxing. I was astonished at the production, and that's Pro Box, and that's a big benefit to what you're doing, as well as they're a contributor and a big piece of yours.
Yeah, and the nonprofit that goes along with that is KO Addiction. And so, you know, that's the part that I'm interested in, is how we can use boxing and that platform to reach as many people as possible that are struggling with substance abuse and mental health issues.
All right, last thing, two things. On a personal note, what's your golf game like in all reality?
I have to be honest.
Yeah. I know. We're hacks. We're honest with each other.
Golfers? I'm about a 15 handicap.
Damn, I don't even know if I want to go off you.
Of course you don't even know if I'm lying. I could be lying about how bad a golfer I am.
Your big park carcass, if you get a hold of one off the tee box, of course, I don't know if it's going straight, but I'm just old man golf. Just bang, 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 and get it on the green and hope for a bogey. But I'm going to take you out golfing in June, and we'll have a little fun.
Sounds good. I've got a membership up at Tampa Palms, but they're redoing the greens right now. So I'm out of service at least till September.
I'm not going there with you.
That's too long for you, right?
Gatorland. My God, the last time you and Barry were there, I never seen... I thought Waterboy was going to get into the action. I looked at some of those pictures. My God, those are monsters coming right out by you guys.
Oh, I know. I think Barry attracts them.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, have a great Memorial Weekend. Tell your beautiful bride hello, and we've got to line up the last thing. We got to line up a book signing down here soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Anytime. Thank you for letting me on today.
All right, Randy Grimes, and I tell you what, fellas, you'll get a chance to meet him. Just one heck of a great guy, and what a career. Can you imagine playing for the Bucks during the losing years?
10 quarterbacks?
10 quarterbacks.
We say six position coaches? That's nuts. Talk about consistency. Like, how do you do that for your career? Well, I was reading the back of his book. He's got a great story.
Yeah.
It was nice having him on.
All right, you two banter back and forth because I have to get a hold of our next guest, Peter Gotham.
So I can kind of do my NBA. I can do my NBA recap. So there's a couple things going.
Wait a minute. We got any tissues in here?
Stop. Cut it out. We still have another game. You act like the series is over. We still have another game. So there's...
No. I'm telling you. Jimmy Buckets, who you caddied for...
No.
Is carrying them.
It's not a chance.
To get beat in six by the Golden State Warriors. You heard it here, Ben.
I'll give Jimmy his flowers. Jimmy scored about 19 points on 32 shots in the last two games. He comes into this game, drops a 47-piece, carries the Miami Heat to a Game 6 victory, gives them life. Jimmy actually has one of the best records in closeout games in the playoffs. But he has never had to close out against Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and Marcus Smart, all healthy on the same floor.
It's on the road in game seven. You think that they're not going to be going crazy in Miami?
Well, both teams have been bad on the road.
That's true.
Both teams have losing records on the road in this series. Momentum has been swinging back and forth. Boston is the only team to put two wins together in a row. I think Boston's going to come out, win this game, win game seven. They're going to go see the Warriors. You heard what Draymond said on the last showing of Inside the NBA. They're going to see the Boston Celtics in the finals.
And that inspired the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Apparently that broke the code. But there's been a lot of code breaking this NBA playoffs. But we got a special matchup coming up. And I think either matchup against the Warriors is going to be a lot of fun. I'm scared for either, but... It is what it is.
All right. I'll let you do some continued analysis and whining in the last segment. But right now, we're going to bring the award-winning Peter Gullin back on the air. And he's kind enough to join me. He's come down many times. He lives in the neighborhood. How are you, Peter?
Just fabulous. How are you, Mark?
I'm superb. And I appreciate you being flexible. I know you love to come down to Ferg's. It's one of your favorite hangouts. But... going to be a little crazy.
Mark Ferguson, the smartest businessman in this entire city.
Well, he certainly is, and I'm blessed. I'm actually in his old office. I don't know if I told you about that, but I'm perched up in his old office, and that's where we're doing the broadcast. I've got Ben Botham with me, and Ben is a baseball historian that you would love, and I've got Oscar Garner III, the big O, A couple of young talents in the studio with me today as well, Peter. They might chime in, and Ben certainly has some questions. But
absolutely,
for people that haven't listened to me before with Peter Gollenbach, author of The Bronx Zoo, Seven, The Mickey Mantle Story. These are just a few. George Steinbrenner. He wrote about Wrigley Field, St. Louis Cardinals, New York Mets. Too many Yankees books to read. I'll let you continue your bio as well, Peter.
Well, I've got two books out right now. So if anybody wants to run to the bookstore or head to Amazon.com, I did a book with the wonderful Bobby Valentine, who started out with the Los Angeles Dodgers, quickly went over to the Los Angeles Angels, where he proceeded to pretty much bust up his leg. Then he became a fabulous coach, manager, coach and then manager. He managed the Texas Rangers very, very well. He managed in Japan. He managed the New York Mets. And then he had one disastrous year with the Boston Red Sox. But one of the most interesting people I have ever done a book with. He's just fabulous. His stories are every page. There's a wonderful story in that book. Valentine's Way, it's called. And the other book I have right now is called it's called Whispers of the Gods. Over the last 40 years, I've interviewed a lot of very, very interesting people, and I took 16 of my very best and put it together. People like Ted Williams, Stan Musial, Roy Campanella, Monty Irvin, Ron Santo, and so forth and so on.
Yeah, let me ask you about, and I think I briefly did before, all the strange nuances that Dave McCarthy, and you know Dave,
yep,
from the Ted Williams Foundation, Dave has told me about Ted Williams. During your conversations, did any of those come to the top? Because, you know, he was a unique man, brilliant man. On this Memorial Day, we'll recognize him as well as one of the veterans that served America, cutting into his career.
Yep.
Did you run across any of that in your conversations?
Well, and the conversation went like this. I'm sitting at home, and the phone rings, and I say hello, and he goes, and the person at the other end goes, "Calling back," and I go, "Yeah." He goes, "It's Ted." I said, "Oh, hi, Ted." He says, "I want you to come over to the house. I want to tell you why Joe Jackson belongs in the Hall of Fame." So he's in Ocala. Ted Williams is in Ocala. I'm in St. Petersburg. I said, "Okay, it's going to take me a couple hours. I'll be over as soon as I can." He goes, "All right." So I get in the car, drive over to Ted's house. You know, they made this entire huge complex over there near Ocala. He had his Ted Williams Museum there. They gave him a house, but it enabled whoever the developer was to sell about 150 other houses to other people. So Ted came out okay, and so did the developer. At any rate, so it was on Ted's mind for some reason that he wanted me, and through me, to let others know that Shoeless Joe Jackson belonged in the Hall of Fame. And that was the conversation that we had that day. It wasn't much of anything else. It was, you know, Ted going on and on about exactly why Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know. "Yes, he took the $5,000, but he tried to give it back and nobody would take it," which is true. And also, "He never made any errors and he hit about 350 and, you know, the guy got screwed." As only Ted could say it. And again, of course, Ted was right. Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, what do you think his opinion would have been of Pete Rose?
It's interesting. I suspect that he would have said something like, "Pete was one of the greatest ball players of his time. What he did as a manager. Pete belonged certainly into the Hall of Fame as a ball player." And I certainly agree with that as well.
I agree 1,000%. So continue. I'm sorry on this book.
No, that's okay. So you know, we had our wonderful hour, and you know, love the guy. I mean, he was just one of the great people I ever had the opportunity to get to know. He was very, you know, he was funny. He was very gruff. but he was also very sensitive. When he came up to the Boston Red Sox as a kid, about 1941, something like that, he really was, he had no respect for the writers. It was funny. There was one of them by the name of Cunningham, and I can't remember the guy's first name, but Cunningham says, come over, kid, I want to interview you. You know, as though Cunningham had this right to it. And Ted said to him, you're drinking, you're drunk, you know, and I don't really want to, you know, mess with drunks. And so for the next 10 years, Cunningham just skewered the poor guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a tough situation. And he, like I said, he was sensitive. He never would tip his cap after hitting a home run. That was the big deal.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that was a big deal.
And it was odd though. Even after hitting the very last home run, that last home run where he knew he was going to quit the game on that last home run, he still couldn't bring himself to tip his cap to the fans.
Well, you know, today across the street, of course, we got the Yankees and Rays, and the Yankees are up 2-0 right now, the best record in baseball. But let's talk about a question on one of the Yankee books that you wrote. And
let me tell you about the Yankees right now.
Yeah, do that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you want to see a pitching staff? Oh my goodness. These guys are absolutely spectacular. You know, Garrett Cole is supposed to be their best pitcher, and yet this fella Cortez, who pitched the first game against us, oh my gosh, the guy was absolutely lights out. He's got an ERA right now of 1.70, and he's virtually unhittable. And they've got a closer right now. You would have thought that it was going to be Aroldis Chapman. But Chapman, for some reason, can't throw strikes. So they brought this guy in, Holmes. And Holmes right now, he's another guy who's unhittable. He's got an ERA, believe it or not, of 0.36. I mean, that's just unheard of. The guy is fantastic. And the guy who pitched yesterday, Talon, he's got 5 wins. He's got an ERA of 2.49, and they got these other players too. Willie Peralta, 2.25, Mike King, who's a fantastic reliever, 2.96, Chad Green's at 3, another starter, Severino. I mean, there's a reason this team has won more games than anybody else, and oddly enough, it's not their lineup. You know, if you look at their lineup, they basically have 4 guys who really can hit, starting with Aaron Judge, who I was shocked to see yesterday, was the leadoff batter in the Yankee lineup. Can you imagine? It was like if they took Mickey Mantle and batted him first.
That was shocking yesterday. I saw that.
Shocking. They really don't have a leadoff hitter right now. So Judge is leading off. And then after that, they've got Rizzo, who's hitting not so great, 221, but he's got 11 home runs. Stanton, who came from Miami, where he was, you know, MVP candidate. Stanton's gotten hurt, so he's out. So the other one, Gleyber Torres, he's got 8 home runs. But aside from that, not much else. But if you've got a pitching staff that gives up, you know, no runs, 1 run, 2 runs, chances are you're going to win the ball game, and that's what they've been doing.
Well, and I know, much to the chagrin of the Rays fans, and if you take a look at the Rays lineup and the Rays pitching staff, pitching is keeping the Rays winning, and as Ben Botham alluded to earlier, some adjustments need to be taken place right now, and share with Peter what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean,
You know what annoys me sometimes is the way Cash works his relievers. There was a game against the Orioles where we were winning, and he had Beeks in there in the 8th inning, and Beeks, I think he pitched 7 pitches. and got them out 1-2-3 so easily. And all he had to do was bring Beeks out in the ninth. We would have won the game. But he didn't do it. He brought in Ryan Thompson, who's been struggling, and Thompson blew the game. And I just wanted to pull my hair out. It just makes me crazy. I mean, it's very, very hard to criticize the Rays because I think they've won more games in the last 5 years than anybody but the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers. Something like that. I mean, they're amazing with how many games they win. But yeah. Still, it drives me crazy. It's, I mean, just
the Yankees seem to have figured it out at least a little bit, that they do have to have the pitching to get far with the style of baseball that they play. I mean,
I'm not hearing you. Oh. I am not hearing you.
Not hearing me at all?
All right. Can you hear me now?
Nope. You have disappeared on me.
How about this one? Can you hear me here?
Nope.
Even better. All right. Can you hear me now? How about this?
Better.
All right. Okay. Well,
where'd you go? It sounds like you're in a submarine.
Oh, this is Ben now talking, so that's why I was coming in.
Oh, yeah. Ben. Okay, yeah. That's probably why. All right.
Yeah, so I was saying the Yankees seem to have figured it out that they do have to have this good pitching in order to play the style of baseball that they're doing. I mean, they have Aaron Judge, who strikes out 50 times a season.
Is so lights out. It's so lights out. They bring this guy Holmes in, you might as well go home. I mean, he pitched the ninth inning yesterday. It took your breath away, that nasty crap that he was throwing yesterday.
I mean,
it was unbelievable.
And you have pitchers that are actually doing their full job, starting pitchers like Nelson Cortez, who went 8 innings, and then Talion, who went 8 innings as well. I mean, that's what you need.
Was not hittable. Talon was not hittable. I mean, woof. I mean, you win all those games, there's a reason for it. And right now, it's the Yankee pitchers. It really is.
And that's one of my issues.
We're not even talking about Cole.
Yeah. But that's one of my issues with the Rays right now is that we're so in the analytics of baseball that the starting pitchers, what, they go 5-6 innings?
Yep.
I think that that's a miserable performance. Then, because we don't have relievers like Dan Quisenberry, who would go three innings.
The problem, Ben, is you and I are too friggin' old.
Well, I'm only 23.
You're only 23?
He's a baseball historian, I told you.
Oh, my God, you're only 23?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're not too old. And you're right.
Hey, I'm trying to bring it back. Right. There has to be a voice of reason.
Oh, my goodness, he's 23. Oh, my son is 34. How can you be 23? Egad. Yeah, no, it just absolutely drives me crazy what Cash does. And yet is they win many more games than they lose.
All right, I want to throw this in, looking back at some of your great books. We never discussed this one, and it caught my eye the other day. You did George, the poor little rich boy who built the Yankee Empire.
Yep.
What did George think of that title?
What did George think of the title?
Yeah.
Well, I think shortly after the book came out, he developed dementia, and then shortly after that, he died.
Oh.
So he probably didn't think much of it, but there wasn't much he could do about it at the time.
I saw that, you know, and there's been some focus on George Steinbrenner, and we all know his legacy and the accomplishments with the Yankees organization and his impact on Greater Tampa Bay. But I thought, man, Peter, that was the title of the book. I thought maybe there might be a hit out on you through the Yankees organization up there in New York, the poor little rich boy.
It wouldn't be the first time. If the hit came out of me, it would have come after the Bronx Zoo came out. It would have come after that, or after my book with Billy Martin called Number One, which absolutely skewered Steinbrenner, because both of those books told everybody what a horse's ass the guy was.
How'd you really feel about him? I told you, my good friend Jeff Mangold, that I went to high school with, was their trainer. He's got 5 rings, and he didn't use horse's ass. He just said he said he was interesting and unique.
He certainly was that. He absolutely was that. Yes, he was. He was.
I've asked you before, but we got a new audience. We're expanding our platform. Who was the most interesting? I mean, and that's a tough question to ask someone with your pedigree. But what was the most interesting person that you've interviewed in the world of baseball?
Oh my gosh! I mean, that is so incredibly difficult. I'll tell you one of them.
Bizarre. How about something bizarre?
No, nothing bizarre. Nothing bizarre at all. I mean, so many of the people I interviewed were so interesting. So many of them. And I'm not pushing this book with Valentine, but I interviewed Bobby Valentine for 41 hours. Most of the books I do, I interview people for 20 hours, 25 hours. This guy was so absolutely fascinating and had so many stories. It just absolutely blew my mind. You know, I'm so shocked that this book, it's very difficult to get publicity for your books these days. I mean, that's the real problem. I mean, this book should have been a New York Times bestseller. It was so interesting. But I mean, look, who are the people I interviewed who I found so incredibly interesting? Who else? Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, Roger Maris, Phil Rizzuto, Tommy Hendrick. It just goes on. Bill Scourin, Bobby Richardson, Tony Kubek, Carl Furillo, Roy Campanella, Carl Erskine, Pee Wee Reese was one of the most fascinating I interviewed. Certainly Stan Musial, Marty Marion, a lot of the different Cardinals. There were even some Browns, Browns players who were fascinating too. They're just most of the people who play baseball are really, really smart and remember everything about their careers. And so, you know, the joy that I've had over the years, you know, interviewing these people for my books, you know, Lou Gehrig talks about being the luckiest man. I disagree. I think I was the luckiest man.
I got a question for you, Peter Gollenbach. You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, by the way, across from the Trop, and the Yankees and Rays do battle. Growing up in New York, graduating from New York University, being down here now for a period of time, if you go to the game, Wendy have a Rays jersey on, you have a Yankees jersey on. What's the temperature in your house these days as a lifelong Yankee fan and now living down here?
Well, I mean, I moved here in 1989 for the Senior Professional Baseball League, the St. Pete Pelicans. I did the color with Jack Weers, who was my play-by-play guy, and I wrote a book called The Forever Boys, which was about that fabulous, fabulous team with Doc Ellis and Bobby Tolan and all those wonderful players. So from 1989 to 1998, I continued to root for my Yankees. I mean, it was easy, certainly easy to do, to root for all those, you know, Jeter and Bernie Williams and Andy Pettit and Mariano Rivera and those guys. The problem, though, is that you're, 1,200 miles away. You know, you want to be able to go to a ballpark and see your team. And in 1998, sure as shooting, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays showed up. And it wasn't a particularly terrific team, but it became my team. And I have been rooting for these guys since 1998, which, believe it or not, is now 24 years, which is hard to believe.
And your last analysis, and we'll let you go and enjoy some baseball.
I'll be there. I will be there today, Section 203. You better believe.
Attaboy. As you look at this ball club, and I asked Ben the same thing. 100 wins possible for the Rays this year. They've got a lot of the same philosophies and pieces.
The problem is injuries. The problem is injuries. You know, they don't have Glass now. They don't have Baz. They don't have Brendan Lowe. You know, you can't have a string of injuries and not be affected by it. I mean, what people don't understand is what a phenomenal job Cash has done despite having 7 of his pitchers on the DL. I mean, it is quite amazing, no matter how critical I may be of you know, taking pitchers out at the wrong time. But generally his teams win. My problem is that the offensive lineup is mediocre. You know, you've got guys, and it's also one of the reasons why we don't have as many people coming to the park as you might want to have. You know, how many people are coming to see Yandy Diaz? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many people are coming to the park to watch Margot? You know, I mean, it's a team of talented no names. You know, people want to go to Yankee Stadium to see Aaron Judge. They want to see Stanton. They want to see Gallo. They want to see, guys who really are exciting. As talented as our players are, and they're marvelous on defense. I mean, Walls is a terrific infielder. Wander is showing that he's got a huge amount of potential. But the question I always ask people is, who on this roster would you pay money to go and see? You know, some of them say Kiermaier. But, you know, Kiermaier, he's not, you know, he's a marvelous defensive ball player. On offense, he's okay. But these are not stars.
I think Kiermaier's got
to
go.
It's hard to get people who don't love baseball as much as we do to go to the games because they're not, the attraction of stars is not there.
Ben's got a question regarding Bobby Valentine for you.
Yeah, so you wrote about Bobby Valentine, and
I wrote it with him. Valentine's Way. Yes.
So did he ever mention any of the hijinks he kind of did with his disguises when he was kicked out of the game in '99?
His disguise? Oh, it's just fabulous. I'm still looking for the bobblehead that he has wearing his disguise. It's out there somewhere, and one of these days I'm going to find it. But yes, no, it's hilarious. A couple of his pitchers were in the clubhouse with him at the time, and they helped him mark up his face and put a fake mustache on, put glasses on, and they told him, go on out there. And he would have gotten away with it, except that the TV cameras from left field were focusing into the clubhouse, and on the screen, the people at home could see that he had snuck in there wearing that disguise. So yeah, the book tells all about it.
All right, Peter. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking time to join us before you go over to the game. I look forward to you coming down and sitting down with us again so I can buy you and Wendy a bite to eat.
We look forward to it. Always at Ferg's. And we play trivia. We play trivia at Ferg's every Thursday night except when the Rays are in town.
And I'm going to bring my mother down to meet you and your wife. She wants to get out and socialize a little bit more. And I thought, you know what? I'll get her down there, and she can meet the Gollenbacks. They're a great couple.
That sounds like fun.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Peter Gollenbach. And can you imagine what he's done? Well, you would be in absolute heaven.
Oh, talking to Mickey Mantle? Are you kidding me? That would have been unreal, an unreal opportunity.
He grew up in the New York area. He probably read his Wikipedia, mm-hmm. And then he went to New York University and he got his law degree. Then he went to work for Prentice Hall, one of the big publishers. Mm-hmm. Bored out of his gourd. I mean, his passion was baseball, and he went to work for them, and he was doing this kind of on the side, mm-hmm. And he went to the publisher and he had an idea for a book, and the guy gave him the jack to publish it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his Wikipedia page or his his bibliography, any of the books that he's written, I mean, he's got great books on like Billy Martin, where he kind of argues that, you know, maybe Billy Martin was the actual driver of the case, and you know, it seems like he's an amazing writer, amazing author.
A guy like him, you know, who was unathletic, those are the guys that also are very, very excited. You, on the other hand, happen to play the game,
yeah.
Understand the game at the collegiate level. And did you hear that he was a sidewinder? Have you ever seen?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, a submarine pitcher.
Pitcher. Yeah. Down here.
Yeah.
Who did the Rays have that was close?
They have a pitcher right now. He switches back and forth. Sometimes he's over the top. Sometimes he drops below. But, you know, that we some readers kind of get blackballed out of the league a little bit because, you know, we're funky. We're a little weird. And, you know, I
you're
still
not
like,
weird, dude.
Well, all pitchers are weird. You know, POs are a little weird. We're juggling in the bullpen, munching on seeds, that kind of thing. So, but in general, you know, some readers kind of get blackballed a little bit. I still think, like, Dan Quisenberry should be a Hall of Famer. He comes from a time where, you know, relief pitchers went three solid, even four innings, you know, and that's what he was. He won the Rural AIDS Relief Man, Fireman Award, I think it was five or six times. And he was an unreal pitcher, him, Fernando Venezuela, you know, all those guys could do it.
I saw the quiz when he was with the Royals,
mm-hmm.
and 2 hour drive from Des Moines, that was our team to go watch, and I got to know George Brett through the years, and the quiz was. He was unique.
Oh, yeah.
I had a conversation. He came up and did a signing for us at the Iowa Cubs one time.
Oh, wow. I know he did. He wrote poetry in his later years.
As I said, he was unique.
Yeah, and he even played for the Jacksonville Suns in the minor leagues for quite some time.
We're going to have to get Peter on. Did you hear him mention the senior pro baseball?
Yeah, I heard that. I was intrigued. I don't know
and
much
And you
about
know
that.
How many of those guys live around here?
Oh, probably a ton.
And yeah. In Naples? I mean, there's old baseball players everywhere around here that, you know, had storied careers, if you will. And mm-hmm. that's why the Ted Williams Foundation. All right, so my prediction, you got it. Heat and Golden State.
Heat close it out in Miami, Game 7. Is what you're
thinking. Well, we're winding down. If you don't tear down the...
the set on the way out, yeah.
Yeah.
You can take off. That's Ben Botham. We're winding out. I only got a few minutes. I'm looking forward to you continuing each and every Saturday down here. Cool. And if you can't make it, call in. We'll do our baseball segments. But we're going to get a show launched for you. We're going to launch one for Alex and the Big O as well.
Cool. Sounds perfect. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, man. Ben Botham, and I got an idea where he's got to run to right now. And he'll be back next week. And as I said, it's going to be Golden State. It starts Thursday against the Miami Heat and the Warriors in six.
Yeah, I'll be up here in my Tatum jersey next weekend.
All right, my man. Well, thanks for coming over. I want to really thank you last week for bailing the old man out when I had a little, it's almost like heat stroke at the end of the show.
Yeah, man, you were not looking too hot, but I was glad we could help out.
Things happen for a reason, though. This worked out in this studio, in this setting. So much more comfortable to do the show up here.
Yeah.
Even though I can see the people rolling in, I'd like to be out there in the midst. As I said, we're from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. So for Cody Montgomery, Sean Davis, Randy Grimes, Peter Gollenbeck, Ben Botham, Oscar the Big O, and Garner the Third, Joe Boudreaux, Big Ed on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Wishing you and your families a fabulous Memorial Weekend. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Ukraine, the poor families in Texas, and have a championship week.